and she had led a life which is in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then alhamdulillah she came into and she started listening to the bayans, attending the programs, corresponding. And there was a dramatic change that took place in this girl's life. And so as it mentioned was that this girl writes and she says that Maulana, I now, after I perform my Isha Salah, I can't wait for Tahajjud. I just anticipate the time of Tahajjud. Because she says, when I put my head down in Sajda, the sweetness that I experienced when I placed my head down in Sajda, I've never experienced in my entire life. And this is the reality which we can all experience. And on that point also, there was one Muslim in the world that had accepted Islam at the hands of the Maulana Sajjad Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Maulana had advised him how to perform the Salah. He said, all you do is you just became a Muslim. They taught him Subhanallah. He said, you stand one side, do whatever everyone else is doing, and you just say Subhanallah. So this person joined the Salah. After the Salah, this person, everyone else came out of the masjid, and this person was stuck in the masjid. And he was in the position of Sajda. For a very, very long time, this person was in a position of Sajda. People were waiting, those were waiting, those were brought in, they were waiting. After a lengthy period of time, he came out. He said, what happened to you? He says, when I put my head down in Sajda, the kind of feeling that I've experienced, I've never experienced in my entire life. And I didn't want to pick up my head from Sajda. So this is the reality, respected elders and brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this small taste of this sweetness. Nevertheless, Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi, he came on the minbar and he said that firstly, all I can say is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the good opinions of each person. For people to have a good opinion regarding us is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not calling you a drug addict or a gangster or whatever else. The fact that people have a good opinion is one of the tafsirs of Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasanah thanai khalq. That people praise a person, this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he used to say that may Allah accept your good opinion. That means he didn't consider himself really worthy of that. But then he said that, hum aise rahe, ya ki waise rahe, waha dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. We can live like this and we can live like that. But the reality is on the day of Qiyamah, we have to see what our condition will be. And then he gave a beautiful incident. He said that there was a girl who had gotten married, or she was going to get married, and she was being prepared for her wedding. So they were dolling up and beautifying her, and all the women that were beautifying her began showering praises upon her. You are looking so beautiful, this, that. So she began cheering. So they inquired from her that, why are you cheering? This is not the occasion for cheering. What is making you cry? She said, you all are praising me. But my husband has to praise me. If I go before my husband and he is not happy, then what is the use of all the praises that you are showering upon? So in the same way, people are praising us, but we don't know what our condition really is. And sometimes, and I speak for myself, is that we get carried away with the praises of others. So then it is like the example of the person who had a donkey, and this donkey was really very, very good for nothing. It was useless. It was of no real benefit to him. Very, very stubborn. He was tired of this donkey. So he decided, I had enough of this donkey, so I'm getting rid of this donkey. So he took the donkey. He said, the best place for me to get rid of the donkey is I go to the auction, the place where they auction these animals. So he went there. He paid the salesperson the amount to auction that animal. Now obviously that person, he has to sell it by hook or crook, whatever it is, he's got to sell the animal. So he started praising that animal, left, right and center, praising the animal. This animal is like this and it's like that. So he's listening to the salesperson. So he said, wait a minute, hold on. Well, if this animal is so good, I'd rather keep it myself. I don't understand. So he started believing the praises, but he knew very well what the weaknesses of the animal was. But he started believing the praises of the animal, of that salesperson. In the same way, we know our weaknesses. Now somebody calls the person, you're very, very generous. And and you know how wise this person is, and you know how good this person is, and you know, now that it gets to our head and we start believing it, we know very well what our weaknesses are. The reality is, respected elders and brothers, the truth of the matter is, if Allah Ta'ala to expose our weaknesses, then we do not know where we have put our faces, which direction we have gone. Allah Ta'ala is the star of ghulub, Allah Ta'ala is the concealer of weaknesses, and we make so much of shukr for Allah Ta'ala that He conceals one's weaknesses. Therefore, never ever allow this pride to enter one's heart. When a person praises someone, immediately think to your mind, and think in your mind that, Ya Allah, it is your fazl, you have put a good opinion in this person's heart. Allah accept his good opinion. Accept his good opinion and make me really worthy of this. And the person should not take it to his head. And the reality is that if a person says that you are very, very generous or you are very intelligent, so what we need to ask ourselves, is who is the one who gave us our intelligence? Who is the one who gave us our wealth? Who is the one who made it possible for us to go into the university and study in the first place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran and Majeed, whatever ni'mat you have, whatever bounty you have been bestowed on, remember, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. It is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My current chair, Shaqi Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Barakatuh, gives a very beautiful example. He says that as long as we keep the connection and the nisbat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that action and that activity will be maqbool, it will be full of barakah. So he says, look at, for example, you take the water of Zamzam. That water of Zamzam, its nisbat is towards Ka'batullah Sharif, towards Haram Sharif, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody has got an inclination towards that Zamzam water. Somebody prepares some beautiful food, biryani, whatever it is, after the Jummah Salah. Everybody enjoys, is attracted to that food. Why? That rice came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who caused it to grow. Allah is the one who made all these things happen. The nisbat is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart is inclined towards it. But the person takes that same Zamzam water, he drinks it, and then he goes to toilet. He passes that water out. Now that water that comes out, now nobody says, you know, this originally was Zamzam water too. Or that food that he digested and then released and exported from the body. We all in this import and export business. So he exported that food from his body. Now he too is using the spray to try and get rid of the foul smell that is in the toilet. But what happened? All that happened was the nisbat of that food changed. Now that Zamzam water was no more connected towards Haram Sharif, now his nisbat was towards his own body. So as long as we attribute any achievement to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that activity and that action will be full of barakah and it will be maqbool. But when we start saying, well, you know, it's me and you know myself and you know I did this and I made the right decision and I did the right thing and you know I did this here. Now we start attributing it towards ourselves. Then remember that entire action becomes totally destroyed. Hazrat Mahashabhizah Sani Rahmatullah Ali said, that this waqt aadmi اپنی نگاہ میں بھلے معلوم ہوتا ہے تو سمجھ لو کہ وہ خدا کی نگاہ میں برے معلوم ہوتا ہے. And remember that when a person starts thinking good about himself, he starts regarding himself as very good, and remember at that very moment he has become despicable in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this particular disease of pride, of arrogance, and of self-conceitedness, where we attribute any achievement to ourselves. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, this particular majlis is more a majlis, respected elders and brothers, not to increase our knowledge. MashaAllah, you have great learned ulama in your midst. I actually feel ashamed to be sitting here in front of them. But rather, this is a majlis where we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a majlis of tawbah, where we can make tawbah and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This aspect of tawbah and istighfar, respected elders and brothers, we are living in a zamana of faith. We are living in a zamana of temptation where there are trials and tribulations and there are temptations in every single direction. Something that we need to hold on fast to is this tawbah and istighfar. Continuously turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that beautiful, that balm, so to say, that a person who burns his body, so now he applies that ointment and through that ointment, he now is able to completely cure that particular and heal that part of the body. In the same way, Allah that has given every single mu'min and believer this balm of istighfar and tawbah, that when we make a mistake and when we slip accidentally, a believer doesn't commit a sin intentionally, accidentally the person commits a sin, then he has this leeway and the scapegoat that he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and istighfar. But even then too, even if we feel that I haven't committed any sin in guna, then look at the example of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the hadith, in many ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the sahaba ikram that make tawbah and istighfar, because I make tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 70 times a day. Now imagine that Nabi of Allah, who was ma'soom, who was sinless, who didn't commit a single sin, but yet he is making tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 70 times in some riwayat, 100 times. How much more istighfar should weak ones like myself be making? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this is something that is very important for us, and in this particular ayat of the Quran which we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Sari'u ila maghfira," that hasten and move swiftly towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person commits a sin. It's like the example of a person who is walking. And now, whilst walking, especially for the young ones, our young friends, the person sometimes he slips, he falls, he gets involved with bad company. He does something that's totally inappropriate. And now he can feel that his life is not right. He's feeling bad, he's feeling terrible. Alhamdulillah, that is one great step. The fact that a person feels bad, Nabi Kareem Sahib said in one hadith, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٍ, that when your good deeds make you feel good, you feel a sense of fulfillment, you feel good about it, and your bad deeds, your sin, you feel bad about it, you feel terrible, you feel sad, you feel regret and remorse, then فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٍ, know that you are a believer and you do have iman. As Mu'anisa rahmatullahi used to say, that Ya Allah, what is going to happen to the ummah, that we commit sins and we brag about it. We commit sins and we brag about our sins. The person is excited, you know, I committed this sin and I did this and I went to this place. What has happened to the ummah? What has happened to our iman? That if we committed a sin, we should feel ashamed. Nobody should come to know of this particular sin that I have committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality. Nevertheless, Allah says, hasten towards this. So we are giving the example that the youngster is walking. And whilst he is walking, there is perhaps some kind of a ditch, where there's some filth, perhaps there's some rotting carcass inside there, there's all kinds of filth in there. And whilst walking, this person slips and he falls inside. Now what will the person do? As soon as he falls in that filth, immediately he wants to get out straight away, quickly get back to the home, have a good shower, wash himself properly, put on new clothing, perhaps even apply the iddah. But he's not satisfied, he's feeling uneasy that I'm polluted, I've slipped, I've fallen. In the same way, respected elders and others, we make mistakes. We slip. Shaytan and nafs overpower us occasionally. But we should never be satisfied in that condition. We should immediately make some effort to get out of there. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resort to tawbah and istighfar, take out some sadaqah, do some good deed to expiate that evil that has taken place. In this way, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special favors will fall upon that person. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man lazima al-istighfar, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhaykin makhraja." That person who holds on firmly to tawbah and istighfar, Allah ta'ala will create a way out of every difficulty for him. "Ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhaykin makhraja, wa min kulli hammin faraja." Every grief and sorrow that may afflict that person, Allah will create a way out for him. And وَرَزَقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, and Allah will sustain that person from sources which he never ever thought. Places he never thought that Allah will provide for him, but Allah Ta'ala will put it in someone's heart, Allah Ta'ala will send that risk to this person. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we are weak servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we feel that, you know, this to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's only for the people in the first surf. Those only are for the people who are very close to the sheikh, or those people who are very biased. Subhanallah, Allah has given us the deen of Islam, where every single person, no matter how far you may have turned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has got the best connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the religions of others, that if a person commits a sin, he has to now go to the church and he has to now, you know, confess to his weaknesses. How embarrassing, how disgraceful, and how humiliating that is. The person has to make an appointment. Now that priest is busy and he's tired and he's got 10 appointments for that day, so another person can only go the next day. But look at the deen of Islam. That the person in the dead of the night, whilst he's seated on his bed, some regret and remorse came into his heart. He turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Allah, forgive my sins. Ya Allah, forgive my sins. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we can never look down upon any person. We just don't know when that person turned to Allah ta'ala and when such tawbah and istighfar, because of which that person has now reached such a high maqam that we cannot even understand. Therefore, our ulama'i kiram explain that sometimes a person comes into the masjid and it happens. Sometimes you find a youngster that's standing next to you and he's got the earrings on his body, perhaps he's got tattoos too, and he's not dressed appropriately. Now that thought will cross the mind. Look at this youngster now. Comes to the masjid, he's got no decency. These kind of waswasa, the whisperings come into the mind. Shaitan also makes sure that he makes you think bad of the next person. So then we must say to ourselves that look, this person is only 17, 15, 18, whatever it is. I am 30, 40, 50 years old. My 50 years of my life, how much of obedience, which amal of mine is really worthy of presentation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is 15, 16, 17. I don't know, tomorrow this person, next week this person could make sincere tawbah and istighfar. And then Allah ta'ala blesses him with a life of 70 or 80. And for the rest of his life, he's then obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will be far better off than me. And likewise, if an elderly person is standing next to you and he seems to be far away from deen or engaged in some sin, then there to say to yourself that I don't know what was his condition when he was young. Perhaps his entire life he spent in the obedience of Allah. And now shaitan and nafs has overpowered this person. And now he's gone to the wrong direction. But he's still got 50, 60 years of good deeds. Most of my life is full of sin and guna, but this person is better off than me. This is another example that you can give. Is that remember that every single mu'min and believer is like a diamond. Like a person has got a priceless diamond. One friend of ours showed us a diamond. The diamond was worth more than $1 million. I'm holding the diamond like I thought it's you. When you told me $1 million, now imagine that particular diamond that's over $1 million. Now that diamond has to fall into some filth, perhaps in some green or stool, let's say. Now, a person who knows the value of the diamond, would he say, just keep the diamond, throw it in the man. Don't worry about it. It's good for nothing, useless. All he'll do is he'll pick up the diamond, perhaps he'll wear gloves, whatever he sees. All he does is he picks up the diamond. He takes the diamond and he washes it. And now everyone says, ah, this is the same price as that. So you look down upon the filth. You don't look down upon the diamond. Learn to differentiate between the two. The person is committing some sin, look down upon the sin. Yes, drinking is a very bad thing. But this person has got iman. He's got his ticket to Jannah. This person has got his ticket to Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-Jannah. That person recites the kalima, he has got his ticket to Jannah, he will enter Jannah. So therefore we cannot even look down upon that person. Yes, some people go to Jannah via Jahannam. But that too, even for those people, our ulama'i kiram subhanAllah, as the Thani Rahmatullah, he says, that those people will go to Jahannam, those mu'mineen will go to Jahannam because of the excessive sins. So they will go to Jahannam tathheeran na ta'deem. One is, the person goes to Jahannam for adab. Allah Ta'ala sends him to Jahannam to punish him. But the mu'mineen who have spent a life of disobedience, they too will have to go to Jahannam, but tathheeran, to purify them of the sins. So then, as the Tahir Abdullah gives the example, he says that a certain person, he is a friend of the doctor, he's got a very good relationship with a particular specialist, and now he has got some problem on his body, perhaps with the growth, whatever it may be. So now he goes to the doctor, and now while he is there, that doctor immediately says, quickly see to this patient, inject him the anesthetic, And he makes sure that this particular patient is seen to and given preferential treatment. He's treated like a VIP in the doctor. Until finally this person wakes up from there and is standing and says, "Well, you haven't yet operated." He said, "No, we finished. We took it out. We cut it out. It's all done. Done and dusted." Yes, he will go through a little bit of difficulty here and there. As the Tanya Ramkullah, he says, in the same way, that mu'min who has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah protect that, but if he has to go to Jahannam, then this will be his condition. Allah ta'ala will make it go very well. Of course, it doesn't mean now that we must say, well, that's the case. They just carry on from the distance. No, respected elders and brothers, a person should never ever commit sin with the leverage of Tawbah and Istighfar. Because remember, respected elders and brothers, we always should have this fear that what if? What if the angel of death strikes whilst I'm in the midst of that particular guna itself? The person is popping the drug, he's fine, just carry on. Now whilst popping that drug and putting it in the mouth, there and then the angel of death strikes. What an embarrassment that would be. That if a mu'min has to die in that condition, and we learn in the hadith that as you die, that is how you will raise up. Can we imagine what shame and embarrassment that will be to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That if he said to him that a certain ummati of yours has passed away in a certain guna and sin. So therefore, we should never ever do that. Again, we use example of the bath. If the person says that, listen, now I've got this bath, if I get burnt, then all I do is I put this ointment on my hand and the healing process will be quickly, you know, it will take place very swiftly and quickly. So I'm just going to look around for any fire that I see. And say, every time I see a fire, my hand is there and burn myself, immediately put this down. Or the person says, I got a very good panel beater. It's one of the best panel beaters. You know. So let's see every day where we can smash the vehicle. Let's find the nearest concrete barrier, smash the vehicle, and every day we send the vehicle to the panel beater. We say, this person is foolish, right? What are you doing? Every time you're smashing, doesn't mean you got a good panel beater, now you must keep on smashing the vehicle. In the same way, we shouldn't say that if Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim, let me just get on putting my sins in Qur'an. This is a foolish behavior. And it is as if we are, so to say, we are not really respecting this great privilege that Allah Ta'ala has blessed. This is some kind of a sort of accidentally if a person commits a sin. Now Allah Ta'ala has created for us that do not give up. If you have committed a sin, if you are slipping, you are making a mistake, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is willing to forgive you. Do not lose hope. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah of the Quran Sharif that swiftly hasten towards the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten towards this gardens of Jannah which Allah ta'ala has prepared for the mu'mineen. The expanse of this gardens of Jannah like the heavens and the earth. In fact, it's mentioned in one riwayah that the Jannah of the person who will have the lowest rank of Jannah will be 10 times the size of this world. 10 times the size of this world. Can we imagine what kind of a Jannah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person with? And it is mentioned in another riwayah for the young ones that it is mentioned that the Jannati, when he will come towards the door of Jannah, and especially the last person will be taken out of Jahannam, when he will come to the door of Jannah, then it is mentioned that this person will stand for a period of 40 years just admiring the door of Jannah. The beauty of the door of Jannah will be so captivating. Like we see in this world, if somebody has got a very exotic vehicle, I find the youngster standing for a very long time admiring different angles of the vehicle, suspension of the vehicle, and the mags of the vehicle, and this of the vehicle, and the color of the vehicle. And the more exotic the vehicle is, the longer the period of admiration. In the same way, the door of Jannah will be so beautiful, it will be so exquisite, that the person will admire this door of Jannah for a period of 40 years that he would not even realize. Can we then imagine what is, if the doors of Jannah are so beautiful, can we imagine what lies within? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Jannah without any hisab kitab. We should constantly make this dua. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. Oh Allah, give us a very easy reckoning, very, very easy reckoning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that hasten towards this. And this Jannah has been prepared for the muttaqeen, for those people who have got taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates with regards to the qualities of the muttaqeen. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء, those individuals who spend openly and secretly. For those people who are saliheen, the mashayikh have given great emphasis that we should make it a habit and a point to take out money and spend. Besides the zakat that we are giving, besides that, we should make a habit of spending more over and above. Those who had the good fortune of being in the company of our leaders, Mawlana Ismail Sahib Rahmatullahi. So his generosity was phenomenal. Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with such kind of generosity which I have never seen. To such an extent that there was no beggar that came to Hazrat but that he would get something, and those brothers who would bear me out, that Hazrat never gave coins. It was only notes. He never ever gave coins, it was only notes. Either the 10 rand or 20 rand, sometimes 100 rand too, nothing. There was one Saji of ours who was studying with us in those years, we used to come for i'tikaf and spend time in the company of our leaders, Mawlana Ismail Sahib Rahmatullahi. One friend of ours was studying with us. Final year we were in. So for that period of 6 years, this particular student who was from India, he had not seen his parents. He merely communicated over the phone. Because of financial constraints, he was unable to see his parents. So we used to see what used to happen when he would phone his mother, she would be crying, he would come back tearing. She didn't know what he looked like, etc. So whilst we were in i'tikaf, I mentioned it to Hazrat that this particular student hadn't seen his mother for so many years whilst passing. So Hazrat didn't mention anything, he called him. So he told him, so where's your parents? Mentioned. So he said, so when last you saw your parents? So he said, 6 years ago. So I said, 6 years ago? You saw your mother 6 years ago? So he said, so when are you going? He said, no, inshallah, after you qualify, inshallah, I'll be going back. We should still be another year or so there. So the next day, Hazrat called him in the office. He says that, phone your mother now. I've booked a ticket for you. You'll go now in the holiday and go and visit your mother. So immediately he picked up the phone. He phoned his mother. And of course the dua which he gave was it on that occasion, you can imagine. So this is the thing, that spending on others, putting happiness into the hearts of others, this is something that will cause the person to rise very quickly. So الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, they spend openly, they spend in secrecy. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, this respected others and brothers is a very important thing. That those who suppress and they swallow their anger and their temper. And this is something, respected elders and brothers, which is very, very important for us. How we deal with others, how we interact with others. Sometimes this is greater in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those extra nawafil and rajul. That the person must remember that when it comes to those things, huququllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can always open it. But when it comes to huququl ibad, we must remember that we violated the rights of others. So then on the day of qiyamah, that person is not going to. Every person is concerned about his a'mal, is concerned about his actions. He wants more good deeds. And if you violated the rights of any individual on the day of Qiyamah, and it comes in the riwayah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Muflis, that who is the insolvent and bankrupt person? Sahaba al-Kiram replied, Ya Rasulullah, that person who doesn't have any wealth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a real bankrupt person is that person who has done a lot of good deeds. A lot of good deeds in this world, nawafil, khatams of the Quran Sharif, works of deen, involving, I'm just elaborating. But he has violated the rights of people. So on the day of Qiyamah, all those people will lodge their complaints before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will say, go and take his good deeds. Take as much good deeds as satisfies you. Now each person, he wants to take as much as he can. Remember, everyone is worried about himself. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, the person will run away from his own parents. Parents will run away from their children. Everyone will be concerned about nothing but themselves. So the person will take to his heart's desire. Another person will come, he will take to his heart's desire, and so on and so forth, until eventually it is mentioned that this person will have no good desire. Everything will be totally wiped out. May Allah protect him. But then more people will come forward, that he also violated my heart. He also hurt me, he did this to me, he did that to me. Now Allah Ta'ala will instruct that offload your bad deeds into his account. That satisfies you. Eventually this person will have a mountain of sins to his account. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we should make an effort not to cause taklif to any individual. On one occasion, Our lady is launched with us at Ramsudari, who is driving the vehicle. And the passenger side is the Bala Shah Hakim of Tessa at Ramsudari. They had to pick up some parcel at the madrasa. So while driving, the person in the back doesn't stop the vehicle, so he quickly go and run and fetch them. So immediately, Hazrat Wala said, quickly, recite three times Surah Ikhlas and send it on the person behind you. Because you stop the vehicle on the road, you are blocking the other cars, you are causing taklif to the other cars. It mustn't happen on the day of Qiyamah, this person comes to take your good deeds. You rather now send some good deeds to wipe it out. So, to such an extent that we do not cause taklif to the next person. As Mu'ayyad tells us, Rahmatullah was so particular. Every program, any program that he had, he said, brothers, if your cars are obstructing, causing an obstruction to anyone, please go and move your cars rather. Do not cause taklif to anyone. One brother came from Johannesburg to spend time with him. And so he immediately arrived from Johannesburg, he came to the masjid, and as it happened after the Isha Salah, he would go take a walk with him. And this person came with him. Any newcomer would come, Hazrat would bring the person, give some personal attention. So Hazrat inquired from him that, when did you arrive? He said, I just came right now. So he said, you came with the whole family? So he said, yeah, I came with the whole family. So he said, where is the family? So he said, they're sitting in the car. So Hazrat told him, bhai, you've got the family sitting in the car, you should have first rather gone to your accommodation, you should have settled the family down, seen that they were comfortable, then you should have come here. So go immediately to the car and go and meet them, and then you come here and spend time with them. Now they're so tired, they're sitting in the car. This is what we learn, the refinement of our akhlaq and the refinement of our character, that we do not cause taklif to any person. No person should be caused taklif any way whatsoever. And I'm sure you've heard this incident that took place in the life of Hazrat Mu'ayyad Sahib Rahmatullahi. He was traveling to Karachi, he had his Khadim with him. The Khadim was traveling with Hazrat, he had his dedication. We know that Hazrat was a heart patient, he had a severe heart condition. And at times, suddenly he would experience sharp pains, it would happen very often. So the Khadim fell asleep while on the plane, exhausted, he fell asleep. In that interim, Hazrat experienced a heart attack. Now he took that entire heart attack until the Khadim woke up on his own. When the Khadim woke up, Hazrat asked him, the medication that you brought, can you take it off? So he said, Hazrat, why didn't you wake me up? You should have woken me up immediately. Hazrat said, I saw you resting, I didn't want to disturb this. I didn't want to disturb this. This is respected as a total annihilation of oneself. That the person is willing to sacrifice his entire life, but he is not prepared to cause taklif to the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calm in al-ghayr. Sometimes the person does something to us, it's upsetting, it's hurtful. Sometimes we start the student is, I had this incident from Hazrat Shakim of Hazrat Sahib, Namu Barakatuh, that there was one particular ustad. So he was renowned, he used to clearly give good hiding to the students. Everyone knew that this ustad, mashallah, he gives good solid hiding. So the people, when his sheikh came to that town, the people went to the sheikh and the other, this is your khalifa. Maybe if you could just speak to him that, you know, you could just calm down and hide him. So Hazrat called him. So Hazrat said, I got a hadiya for you, a gift. It's one of the most good quality sticks. There was one particular town in India where the sticks were renowned, and it was such that you swerved it through the air, it gave a specific sound, and that would terrorize the students. They said, this is a stick for you. You can use it. So he was very happy. So my other didn't give me the stamp of approval now. So I didn't carry on. So he said, but just hold on. I want you that before you hit the students, you first take the stick, right? And you hit it on your thigh. And you work out that you are 40 years old or 50 years old. So this student here is 12 years old. Now for 40-year-old this shot will be okay, but 12-year-old I got to bring it down proportionately, I got to get the correct ratio here. So first you do that, and then you give the student, because it mustn't happen on the day of Qiyamah that can become zulm. But after a few weeks, that Khalifa came to Hazrat, said, Hazrat, every night when I go home, my wife is rubbing my thighs. Because the amount of shots I'm getting in myself.
So I ended up hitting myself. I'm not even hitting the students anymore. Because I got this fear that I don't think this is going to be the right, I mean, right proportion. And on the day of the Qiyamah, if Allah is to take me to task, then I am going, how am I going to answer? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq on this point of hitting the students. I had this incident from our student. He said that there was a young child in India in those days. So that child saw that there was a cow that was being taken, and the person was beating up that, hitting that cow. So that little child said that to the mother, that Ma, where are they taking the child? They're taking the child to the madrasa. They're taking the child to the madrasa. So unfortunately, respected elders and brothers, this is something that we should be particular about, the ulama-i kiram, the stars of hymns, of Quran. We should teach the Quran with muhabbat and love. Ar-Rahman, allam al-Quran. The sifat of rahmah should be ghalib when we're teaching the Quran Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. There are alternative disciplinary systems that can be used in order for us to try and ensure that they learn. Nevertheless, that is a separate topic. So what qadi min al-ghayr, that when somebody upsets the person, when somebody says something that upsets the person, he swallows his anger, he controls himself. Not only does he control himself, but al-aafin 'anil nas, and he forgives the person. He is willing to forgive the person and goes one step further. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and the person turns back and does good to that person who has harmed him. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, the time has already expired. These few words that have been mentioned, the most important thing is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to make amal. Bayans have been given. Used to say there's so much of bayans that it should actually be listed on the stock exchange, the amount of bayans that have been given. But how much of amal is taking place from the bayan, that is the most important thing. There's an explosion of knowledge, as I used to say, explosion of knowledge. But yet we find that Ummah has become so weak in amal and so weak in our ibadat, and we have become absolutely, so to say, a weak force. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most importantly give us the tawfiq to implement these in our lives, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the quality of tawbah and istighfar. Nevertheless, we'll make some dhikrullah and inshallah make some dua. Imagine the Hadith Sharif, the person who recites this kalima 100 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause his face to be illuminated on the day of Qiyamah. Also, it is mentioned that La ilaha illallah, laysa laha hijabun duna Allah. That between this kalima and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no barrier. Therefore, when we recite this kalima, we should imagine and contemplate it is going directly to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rahmah, and Allah has maghfirat and focus on our hearts. When we say La ilaha, remove everything besides Allah from our hearts. And when we say Inna Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Recite the worship.
La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
When we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, imagine and contemplate that you have a tongue in the heart, tongue in the mouth, both are simultaneously taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that everything around us, the ground beneath our feet, every single grain of sand on earth, every single leaf of every single tree, all taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's wajib to say Jalla Jalaluhu.
Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nu. Allah. Allah, 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 Allah,
forgiveness, Ya Allah, is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. You're mentioning رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ Ya Allah. Just one drop of your forgiveness to Ya Allah is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one here tonight, Ya Allah, who is raising his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Let not let a single brother or sister leave this gathering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I need this mantra, accept, Ya Allah, that they have been completely forgiven, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are tired of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it's not bringing any, Ya Allah, satisfaction, Ya Allah, only anxiety and grief and sorrow in our lives. We are tired of committing sins, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, we are extremely weak, Ya Allah. نفسو شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ یا اللہ نفس ان شیطان ہے گیٹ اپ اگینسٹ اس یا اللہ دے ار ڈریگنگ اس ڈاؤن دی گٹرز اف شیم اینڈ ہیومیلیشن یا اللہ بٹ یا اللہ نو نو فال فور دی نفس ان شیطان یا اللہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ یا اللہ یو اسسٹ اس ان ہیلپ اس اگینسٹ دی انیمیز اف نفس ان شیطان یا اللہ وی ڈو ناٹ وانٹ ٹو وائلیٹ یور کمانڈز یا اللہ We also want to become yours, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Hum sabko Allah wala bana dijiye. Ya Allah, hayat-e-awliya, hayat-e-asfiya, hayat-e-asfiya naseeb farma. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with a heart which is musaffa, mujalla, muzakka. Ya Allah, clean, purified heart, Ya Allah. Our hearts, Ya Allah, full and abounding with nothing but jealousy, pride, malice, greed, Ya Allah, hatred, Ya Allah. Anger, Ya Allah, against others, Ya Allah. That heart which you gave for your muhabbat, your ma'rifat, for your ishq and ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we have turned that heart into a dumb sight, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, hame musaffa, mujadda, muzakka bil ata farmay. Allah, give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Oh Allah, change the direction of our lives, Ya Allah. O Allah, create a strong inclination for good deeds in our hearts, Ya Allah. Create an aversion and a hatred for sins within our hearts, Ya Allah. O Allah, keep us far, far away from sins and guna, Ya Allah. O Allah, keep us far, far away from your disobedience, Ya Allah. O Allah, give us the ishq and the love, Ya Allah, for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ihsanat upon the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, such ihsanat upon the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that is the entire night and day, Ya Allah. Until Qiyamah, we have to continue elaborating, Ya Allah, the kindness and the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of his ummah, that will not be enough. Ya Allah, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed for his ummah, Ya Allah. Especially, Ya Allah, during the days of Nubuwwah, Ya Allah. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, Ya Allah, nothing but sacrifice, Ya Allah. Torture, mockery, Ya Allah. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, Ya Allah. In the Haram Sharif, Ya Allah, when we go to the Ka'batullah Sharif, in Haram Sharif, Ya Allah, we make ibadah with such ease, Ya Allah. On one occasion, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into sajda, and he quickly intercedes of a camel placed on his mubarak back, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he walked to die for the great hope that those people would accept Iman in Islam. Ya Allah, he's chased like a dog and stoned, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in Medina to Munawwara, stones directed the Mubarak belly of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All this for the sake of the Ummah, Ya Allah. For our sake, Ya Allah. But today, Ya Allah, we, the very Ummajis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are ashamed of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, change the condition of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ummah is bleeding and suffering in all parts of the world, Ya Allah. And he made the suffering of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, we know it is because of our sins that the entire ummah is suffering, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, do not forget our sins, Ya Allah. You get those precious tears of my soul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. How he cried for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. He never forgot his ummah, Ya Allah. To such an extent, Ya Allah, it is mentioned, Ya Allah, that on the day of Qiyamah, when every single Nabi will be saying, Ya Rabbi, nafsi, nafsi. My beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be saying, Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati. Ya Allah, this is the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. But Ya Allah, today we are ashamed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he is no more our role model, Ya Allah. Soccer stars have become our role models, Ya Allah. Actors and actresses have become our role models, Ya Allah. Allah, change the inclinations and directions of our hearts, Ya Allah. Create the love, Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our hearts, in the deepest recesses of our hearts. The love of the Sahaba Ikram, Ya Allah. The love of the Mufassirin, Muhaddithin, Fuqaha, Ya Allah, the ulama, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, sattu wa ta'ala. Hum sabko apna bana de. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, we
Divine. Those who are going through financial difficulties, Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, the rings will be removed from our hands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the clothing will be removed from our bodies, Ya Allah. Those exquisite and expensive watches will be removed from our hands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we'll be shrouded in that simple coffin, Ya Allah. The grave will become our homes, Ya Allah. Despite our home being so beautiful in this world and so elaborate in this world, but Ya Allah, that small cupboard will become our home, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our wealth and our family, our many children, they will stand there for a little while, but then they too, they will walk back home, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. We'll be totally alone in solitude, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, and before the water of ghusl is poured on our bodies, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to pour the waters of tawbah on our hearts, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, before the kafan, Ya Allah, is covered, our bodies are covered with the kafan, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to enshroud our lives with the libas of taqwa, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina for our life. Rawda ibn Mubarak of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salat, as-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. For our souls to depart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a small patch of land, Ya Allah, in Jannatul Baqi, Ya Allah. Among the glorious Sahaba Ikram, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, if it is not muqaddar, Ya Allah, to Jahabi, Ya Allah, if it is not muqaddar, they wherever it may be, Ya Allah, then it be a death of barakat, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin and guna, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, our family members, Ya Allah, those who have lost the near and dear one, the parents, Ya Allah, the brothers, sisters, relatives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, tonight, Ya Allah, in this gathering, we raise our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill the graves with glory, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive their sins, Ya Allah. Allahumma ja'al quburahum rawdatan min riyad al-jannah. Make the graves gardens from the gardens of Jannah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those who have the parents alive, Ya Allah, the asadis are the teachers alive, Ya Allah. Grant them all the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to fulfill their rights and their hukuk, Ya Allah. Allah, give us all the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. The rights of our wives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the rights of our children, Ya Allah. Our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, these are important people in our lives, Ya Allah. And very often, Ya Allah, we violate their rights and we hurt them, Ya Allah. Many, many husbands hurt the feelings of their wives, Ya Allah. The wives are crying, Ya Allah. That how cruel, Ya Allah, the husband is, Ya Allah. Just this morning we received a phone call, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the husband, Ya Allah, what kind of cruelty to the wife, Ya Allah. Never acknowledging the efforts of the wife, Ya Allah. For years and years, the wife has sacrificed for the sake of the husband, yet the husband is not prepared to acknowledge and appreciate, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the tawfiq to appreciate our wives, Ya Allah. They have sacrificed their homes, Ya Allah. They have sacrificed their bodies for us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, one day our own daughter will be given to somebody else, Ya Allah. Let us realize that if we are not going to fulfill the rights of someone else's daughter, it must not happen that our daughter is abused, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our wives, Ya Allah, of our parents, of our neighbors, Ya Allah. The rights of every individual that has rights upon us, Ya Allah. Bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we know we are sinful, Ya Allah. Agar shaykhul khata hai. پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ وہ امید کرم آیا یا اللہ if a dog is chased from one butcher that dog can still go to another butcher یا اللہ if a beggar is chased from one home that beggar can still go to another home but یا اللہ you turn your glance of rahmat away from weak ones like us یا اللہ then یا اللہ there is no other door for us besides your door do not turn your glance of rahmat away from us یا اللہ forgive each and every one of us یا اللہ forgive our parents یا اللہ forgive our children, our spouses, Ya Allah, brothers and sisters, Ya Allah, the entire Ummah of Rasulullah. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Ya Allah, there is so much of disunity. Ya Allah, brothers and sisters, Ya Allah, I'm talking, Ya Allah. Parents and children, Ya Allah, I'm talking to one another, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, family members, Ya Allah, disputes and disunity, Ya Allah. In masajid, Ya Allah, in works of deen, Ya Allah, so much of disunity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, unite our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you're the only one who can unite hearts, Ya Allah. Unite our hearts, Ya Allah. Create unity, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you're the only one who can unite the hearts. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina
واصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام واخرجنا من الظلمات الى النور وجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. والله you are welcoming all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Whatever difficulty, pain, fatigue they are going through, Ya Allah, you alleviate it, remove it, Ya Allah. بفضلك وجودك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرم الأكرمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.